Well, good morning, folks. Brother Ben has not made it yet, so I guess we need to go ahead and get started since the clock said we're a little after 10. But it's good to have you with us in our Sunday school hour, and those who listen in by the way of internet, we welcome you to the service today. We thank the Lord for another week, another day, another opportunity to open His precious Word. When I started this lesson, I was going, a Sunday or two. For some reason or another, it's got deeper and deeper, so it won't be a Sunday or two, it don't look like. It looks like it's going to be a little bit more than that. But I just ask you to pray for me. I need the Lord's help, need the Holy Spirit. So just pray for me in the process of this lesson. But we do thank you for loving you, Lord and Savior, enough to be here today. And think on that for just a minute, because there's a lot of people that's riding up and down the road today don't care one thing about it. But He saved us and drawn us to love one another and fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's a wonderful blessing when we think about it. So looking forward to Brother Jack today. So bow your head with us and we will begin today in Matthew and Luke and Mark and James and Hebrew and 1 Corinthians and Ephesians. And did you get all that? Lord, again, we come to you today as we do constantly with thankful hearts. Lord, I'm so thankful that I have and do have the opportunity and the privilege and the honor of knowing you as my Lord and my Savior, and feel the peace and the rest and security in the arms of our wonderful God. And Lord, I thank you for your precious word and how sweet it is. But I also know that you tell us that the natural man comprehendeth not the things of the Word of God. They are spiritually discerned. Lord, I need your help today. So I would ask now that you would take complete and total charge of what's said and what's heard here this day. I would ask you, Lord, to open our minds and our hearts to your precious word. Lord, there are some things that in your precious word that we do not understand. Some things I don't believe that you planned for us to understand it till we are in your presence. But Lord, we do ask now that the Holy Spirit will walk us through it today and help us to know more about your precious word, be drawn closer to you, and realize what a powerful and a great and a mighty God you are by the study this day, giving you all the praise and honor and glory to whom it is deserving. So bless us now. Lord, again, remember those that are sick and have those special needs. And thank you, Lord, for those who have been sick and are back in our presence today. Just ask now that you continue to bless. May you be exalted and may we be humbled. This to do ask in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Matthew chapter number 22. We're going to look at verse number 41 as we begin this morning. As we look there's a whole lot to this pile of dust and dirt that God's formed and created. And man is in a situation that you and I and the world can know of God and Christ, but not know God and Christ. And the difference this morning, the thing that makes the difference this morning, do you know of Him or do you know Him personally? Now, what happens to us when we die? What takes place when we die? Man is made up of a body and a soul and a spirit. So let's look at man for just a moment and think about those three phrases. We want to think about man. We look at the spirit of man or the mind of man. How do you know anything? By what do we know anything? Why do you send your children to school? You send them to gain knowledge. That knowledge is gained how? Learning. And we learn by what? With what? We have a mind that gives us the ability to learn, to gain knowledge, to have understanding. That's the mind of man. That's the spirit of man. But then also, we have man with his senses. So when we look at us as an individual, as a man or a woman, as a human being, we have the knowledge. That's what he knows in his mind interacts with his senses too. And we also have five senses plus many more. But we know the five that we think about most are our sight and our hearing and our smell and our taste and our touch. Then we have a man that has a soul. So how about the soul of a man? What is the soul of man? What's its purpose? What does it do? Now, it is the seat of our affection. When you think back a little bit, that lady's still sitting beside of you, and you hugged her in your arm and you kissed her, did it give you a headache or did it do something in the heart? Our desires, our affections, those things that come from what we call the heart of man. That's the soul of man, the seat. And it's also the seat of our desires. What we desire. It's also the seat of what we want. It's the seat of our emotion. But it's something else too. It's the seat of our self and of our active will and want. What we want to do, what we desire to do. And that natural man has no desire for God or to do the things of God. So your soul and my soul, without the presence of something other than the natural man, have no desire to look toward God. So who is that soul? Is he that's in you? It's what's in you and it's what's in your heart. That's a natural man. So now let's look at a few things this morning. And let's think about this natural man with his wants and his desires, that has no desire for God. And what must happen to that natural man for him to have a desire for God and for the things of God? Why are you here this morning? What brought you here this morning? What caused you to come here this morning? Think about those things for a moment. Now let me read you something in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse number 41. Christ here doing his earthly ministry. And he says, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them. Now, here's a conversation between the Pharisees and Christ, saying, what think ye of Christ? You let that soak in for just a minute. If Jesus, if it was where Christ could come into your presence this morning, and Christ was to look at you and say, what think ye of Christ? What would your answer be? How would you respond to that? How did they respond to it? He says, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they said unto him, son of David. Strike one. He says unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Now, I want you to look at that phrase that I've just read to you in that particular verse. I hadn't thought about it until I read it right then. So let me read that phrase to you again. How then doth David in spirit call him Lord? What gives David the ability to call him Lord? The same thing that gives you the ability to call him Lord. He says, David in what? In spirit calls him Lord. And you and I never will, never have, or never can recognize who God Almighty is and who Jesus Christ is without the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Lord said unto, then the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemy thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? Look at verse number 46. And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. They were looking at Christ. and didn't know who they were looking at. The only way you and I can comprehend who Christ is through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, we talked about last Sunday, the creation of man. We talked about what God told Adam, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. You're going to return to the ground that you tilled. So let's look and see in God's Word, where is there a separation in that part of man, that's the dust part, and that part of man that's the soul part. That soul part of you and I and everybody, that soul part is an eternal part. We talked about two resurrections last Sunday. We talked about the resurrection of the living and the resurrection of the dead. Those that are saved and those that are lost. And we talked about the timing of that. But God said everything in its own order. So if I die today, and sometime this week, they put my body in the ground, then what has happened to my soul? Is my soul still in that body? Is my soul still placed in that ground? Well, if it is or if it's not, then show me how it is or how it is not. And the only thing I know to do when it comes to that point is look at God's Word and see what God's Word said. And I'm going to tell you something. There's some things in this that I do not understand. There's some things in this that I cannot explain. So let's venture on. Soul. We want to look at that word soul. Go with me over to Luke for just a moment. Go to chapter number 12. Going deliberately slow this morning. Don't want to get too fast. We're going to look at a parable here in chapter number 12 and start with verse number 16. Parable of a rich fool. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty. I want you to notice something in that statement, too. Where did the blessings of that rich man come from? Did he make that ground? So that was a God's gift to him, right? And what he's getting is coming where he realized it's not, through the kindness and the blessing of God. He says it makes it rain on the just and the unjust. Thing of it is, we need to know and understand from whence all our blessings come. So what is he doing? Now, I want you to look at one little word. I want you to look at the word I as we look through this. And I want you to look how Christ, or how God, or how Christ explains it. He said, and he thought within himself, mind and soul. What's the most precious thing to this man? His desires. So what does he do? He thought within himself. saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. I've got to do something. He don't realize God blessed him beyond measure. He's not asking the Lord to help him to do something. Who's he depending on to do something? Himself. And you depend on yourself and I depend on myself, and that's going to lead us in a bad way in a hurry. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and I'll build greater barns, and there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. It's my, and I. You don't see anything about blessings in that. He ought have been saying, it's my blessings, and it's my blessings, and it's my blessings. But now I want you to look at verse number 19. I will say to my what? All right, you pay attention here. Here we get to that soul part, that want and desires of that internal man. He says, so I'm going to say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine easy, drink, and be merry. I have got it made. My retirement is well set. I don't have anything to worry about. But now verse number 20 starts with what? That one little word that I tell you to look for. But he said, but God saith unto him. Now who's come into the picture? Now he's got somebody else, and it's two besides self. So he said, but God said unto him, thou what? I didn't say that. God said that now. Thou fool, this what? Night. What good is all that mess he's got going to do him after this night? This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward who? Toward God. So what does God say is going to be required of him that night? His soul. So now, that puts an emphasis on something that's a part of us. And that thing that it puts emphasis on that's a part of us is our soul. It must be an important part, because here we see that it was called out. God put specific on that soul. Now let's go over to Mark for just a minute. We'll back up to Mark. Go to chapter number 8 in the book of Mark. Chapter number 8, verse number 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain what? The whole world. And in the process of getting that whole world, He does what? He loses his own soul. Well, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the holy angels. What position had you rather your soul be in today? Go over to the book of James. Head on over toward Revelations. Get on past Hebrews. We'll pick up the book of James. Go to chapter number 4. Verse number 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be tomorrow. What did we say about the rich fool a while ago? He says, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And God said, what? He said, tonight, you ain't not going to see a tomorrow. He said, your number is going to be called tonight. So it says, whereas you know not what shall be tomorrow. For what is your life? Now I want you to notice the change in this. Now I'll tell you what I am most thankful for. Whereas ye know not what shall be tomorrow, I know somebody that does. And that's who I'm depending on. And tomorrow, if I'm at home with him, that would sure be a blessing. But now, in this particular case, he says, for what is your life? They don't say soul here. It says, what's your life? And he says, it is even as a vapor. You got a pot on the stove with boiling water, and what do you see come off of it? You see steam. You see vapor come off of it, don't you? How long does it last? It's gone, right? That's that way our physical life is. It's gone. Not so with the soul. Keep that thought in mind. He said it's like a vapor that appears for a little time, and then does what? It vanished away. Well, that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall do what? Live and do this or do that. So what is life too? Life is our physical ability to do those things that we do. But it takes our mind, it takes the knowledge, it takes our senses, and it takes our soul, the soul of man, to accomplish those things. It takes that whole man, all together as God created and all working together to accomplish those things. Look at Hebrews. All you got to do is back up. You're right next to Hebrews. Back up to chapter number 4. Just looking at man in general, trying to develop a general picture of you and I as a human being and what makes us function and what happens to us. So in Hebrews chapter number 4, in verse number 12, well, the Word of God is what? Quick. And the Word of God is powerful. And the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's piercing even to the dividing asunder of what? Of the soul and the spirit. And the joints and the mire. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the what? Heart. So we're going back down now to the soul of man. The heart of man. Where his emotions and affections are. And I looked at this and I thought about this a good little bit. And he says that he can pierce even to the dividing asunder. Notice that phrase. He said the dividing asunder of what? Of the soul and the spirit of man. If the spirit of man is the mind of a man, if the spirit of man is the senses of man, the spirit of man is the knowledge of man, the soul of man is the affections of man. And he said they can be divided asunder. They can be separated. What happens when you die? He said he can totally destroy that body. Now let's go to Corinthians for just a moment. 1 Corinthians. Food for thought this morning more than anything else. You're allowed to leave this morning more confused than you was when you come. That's the way I've been the whole week. I talking to Mitchell last night, and I told him, I said, I'll run this rabbit. He ran through a briar patch. I got hung in the briar patch, and I needed a pair of hedge trimmers to get out, and I've got a pocket knife. I'm trying to get my way out so I can catch up with that rabbit again. Then I go to run him again. Then he runs through a muddy branch. Spatters all over up my face, just where I can't see again. So the Holy Spirit's going to have to come and wipe it out so I can see where I'm going again. Because I sure can't see. And that's kind of the way this week's been. But in Corinthians, in chapter number 2 and verse number 9, but as it is written, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither entered into the what? Heart. The emotions of man. The heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that do what? Love Him. Now we're looking at something that applies to you and I who have been saved by the marvelous grace of God. And He says, you cannot imagine what's in store for you and I that know Christ. We do not have the capability. Our imagination is not that great. I've seen some pretty things in the process of my life. But it won't compare with what He has waiting for us that we have never seen. But the most beautiful thing is going to be when I see the face of Jesus, my Lord and Savior. That's going to be a great and glorious day. He said, neither hath he entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So we've been afforded to see some of them. Now look at verse number 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? How do you know something, I ask you? See, our ability to think, our mind, gives us knowledge, gives us understanding. But here's a but. But with us as a natural man, we will never have any understanding of who God is. With the natural man state, we do not have the ability to know anything about God. All we can say, I remember, now you've heard me say this before, there's a gentleman in the neighborhood, and when we used to go over to Bobby and Lee's when they were running the store and they had that country eating, and everybody would come get some of that country eating, and we'd sit around and talk. Talked with this gentleman a pretty good little bit, and he could quote more scripture than I could. I mean, he could quote it up and down, up one side and down the other. But he'd look at it and say, I'm not saved. He knew what it took. But he was not saved. He knew of God, but he didn't know God. And our natural man will never know God. For what? Look at verse number 11. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man, the mind of man? Well, we won't stop there. It says it's in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but how? But by the Spirit of God. So if you and I know anything at all about God, it's going to be because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Then he says to a Christian, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received what? The Spirit which is of God, that we might know. We have received the Spirit of God, and because we have received the Spirit of God, it put us in a position that we might know the things that are, what's the next word? Freely given us of God. And the most precious and the greatest thing that's ever been given to us has been Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And it was given to us how? It's a free gift of the Almighty God. And we've not done one thing to deserve it. In fact, we've done many, many things not to deserve it. But because of God's grace and His unmerited love and favor, we have an opportunity to know His Son in saving grace. Oh, Lord, I didn't know time was already gone. Well, we're going to have to stop. I told you this one or two Sunday thing was going to get to something. I don't know where it's going. Thank you for being with us today, and God bless you. I just hope you've known a little bit more when you leave than when you came. If that's the case, God fulfilled the purpose of the day. God bless you.